You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is The War Room. We're moving on now. We're moving on. I'm changing topics. I've decided to believe that the people talking crap about us are just trolling us. They're just trying to get my goat. I'm going to preserve my own sanity by convincing myself to believe that these people aren't serious, because I can't go on if these people really believe what they say. So we're moving on now. We're moving on. Of course, Christmas is coming up in 2 days, and today is the last day to take advantage of the final days of 60% off mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Be entered to win a Ford Raptor plus $10,000 in cash. And as I explained in the last segment, this is how you support us. This is how anybody, this is our support. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com and support us, we stay on the air. We continue to actually try to honestly investigate what's going on in the world without any interference, without any persuasion other than America itself. I went on American Journal this morning to destroy Kwanzaa. Here's how it went.
They have this idea that it's like a religious thing, that it's like some deeply held spiritual practice. It's not. It was literally invented in the 1960s by a radical communist black separatist because he wanted to destroy black people's love of Christianity because he saw it as an outgrowth of capitalism in America, and he hated both of those things. So it's not spiritual. It's not valid in any way. He just took a bunch of Swahili names, Swahili words, and made up things and then put it to a mockery of Hanukkah and called it a religion. Now, there's a classic article from this that people repost just about every year from Ann Coulter called "Kwanzaa is a Holiday Made Up by the FBI." And she basically runs that this guy, Ron Karenga, who's the guy who invented Kwanzaa, a.k.a. Dr. Maulana Karenga, founder of the United Slaves, which was a violent nationalist rival to the Black Panthers, invented this in the 1960s, basically at the behest of the FBI or under the purview of the FBI. But yeah, it's all literally just a radical communist anti-American practice that was supposed to, play into this idea that like, oh, you're reclaiming your heritage, you're reclaiming your history, Africa, the homeland, the motherland, and, you want to reconnect with your spiritual past. So it's playing on something that's like really deeply human and emotional, like you want to be connected to your past, but it's all just bullcrap. It's just a lie. It's just nonsense, and it's anti-Christian, which I think is particularly ridiculous, and you can read the guy's writings. I mean, he actually hated Christianity. He wanted to destroy Christianity. He wanted to, create something for black people in America to break away from Christianity because he saw it as like the, European oppressor religion, which it's all just communist hogwash anyway. Mm-hmm. But also, then you go and you've got articles like this. African Christianity thrived long before white men arrived. So Africa was Christian long before Europe was. Ethiopia had some of the earliest Christian communities. Many of the earliest saints are Christian. Some of my favorite, King Caleb is one of the coolest saints of all time. And we don't have to get into that right now. But the point is that, like, it's ridiculous to claim that Christianity was somehow foisted on these, the poor slaves, and it was used to keep them enslaved. I mean, that's the idea that's being perpetuated by the people who created Kwanzaa, when the reality is that, Christianity was, one of the greatest things that ever happened to the African-American community, and the African-American community is much more strongly Christian than other, racial communities in this country. And Kwanzaa is a deliberate attempt to weaken that connection by claiming that Christianity is somehow European and white and therefore racist and capitalist and bad and has to be overthrown, when the reality is Christianity has a longer history in Africa than it does in America. And if black people want to connect to their history, that would be a great place to start.
There you go. Learn the communist origins of the fake holiday, otherwise known as Kwanzaa. Do you know they added the second A in Kwanzaa for no reason? It's one thing I learned in researching Kwanzaa. Is they're like, well, it's a Swahili word, but then they added the A to make it look different. So everything about it's fake. The word is fake. The ideas are fake. The celebration is fake. The intentions are fake. And it's a fake holiday. And I'm glad we don't actually celebrate it anymore. Have you seen any Kwanzaa celebrations in your neighborhood? Maybe I'll take your calls on that too. Stay with us. We're on the other side.
Whoa, dude! Is that methylene blue? This house really knows me! Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great and they're good for me too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
I think I got it mostly out of my system. I'll take your calls in the third hour. We can get back into it. But we're going to move on now. We got a lot of stories to cover, a lot of people to discuss. So we're going to move on now. We're going to talk about what's happening with Jeffrey Epstein and the documents they failed to redact effectively, but also all of the scams and schemes and lies that are contained in this as well. We'll continue today as we normally start our day with your daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Tuesday, the 23rd of December, 2025. New batch of Epstein files include many references to Trump. 3 days after releasing a large tranche of Jeffrey Epstein documents that contained a few mentions of President Donald Trump, the Justice Department disclosed thousands more files that included wide-ranging references to the president. The documents show that a subpoena was sent to Mar-a-Lago in 2021 for records that pertain to the government's case against Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's accomplice in sex trafficking. These include notes from an assistant U.S. attorney in New York about the number of times Trump flew on Epstein's plane, including one flight that included just Trump, Epstein, and a 20-year-old woman, according to the notes. So one thing that I'm confused by is why there are so many documents from after Epstein's death. I mean, it seems to me like the things I'm interested in are Epstein while he was alive and what he was up to, who he was involved with, what the conspiracy was. Most of the stuff that includes Trump is all from like 2020 or later. So in my opinion, I mean, he died in 2019. Why would anything that comes after that be included in his files unless they were placed there to try to screw Trump over? I mean, that really is what it seems like. And I'm sort of torn because it, you know, there's more evidence that Trump was maybe more involved than otherwise. Yeah, there's a Trump rape claim. I mean, these claims have actually been debunked in some cases, like thoroughly, fully, completely debunked. As the skiff on X notes, you know, somebody was saying, oh, they, you know, accidentally, you know, didn't redact this thing that said Trump's name. Skiff replies, nothing was mistakenly not redacted because these documents have been publicly available since 2020. And this case has nothing to do with Donald Trump. The whole case, if you read the whole document, was about Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. They just chose to show you one section to give you the impression it was about Donald Trump. Learn the slander tactics and verify everything. This is exactly why you've lost all credibility. The Democratic approval rating is 18%. Follow people who give you the truth no matter what. Here are the first four pages with link to the rest. The part about Trump was from page 4, paragraph 17. And basically, you know, one of the women that's, you know, brings up Trump or is claimed to have been raped by Trump or whatever the claim is a woman who, you know, this story actually came out in 2016. Troubled woman with history of drug abuse who claimed that she was assaulted by Donald Trump at a Jeffrey Epstein sex party at age 13, made it all up. That was the story in 2016. The real reason she dropped the suit is because the claims were not true. The court papers offered no corroborative evidence that her claim was true. And this is just one of the many claims in the Epstein files that are documented as if they're true, but are in fact utterly baseless claims, some of which have already been adjudicated and proven to be completely baseless. So you should be aware of that. That being said, I'll show you what is said and I'll show you what the suspicious things are, but the way this is being portrayed is obviously not accurate. Meanwhile, exclusive, ICE rounds up over 1,000 illegal immigrants during a two-week operation to honor Lake and Riley. ICE officials apprehended 1,030 illegal aliens using its authority under the Lake and Riley Act during its two-week operation Angels Honor, the Post has learned. The sweeping operation, which wrapped up Monday, was conducted in memory of Lake and Riley, a nursing student who was brutally bludgeoned to death last year by an illegal alien while out on a jog. And so that's very good to see. You know, CBS apparently canceled airing of a segment about the treatment of illegal immigrants being deported to CECOT in El Salvador. And they actually, you know, they decided to not air this piece. And then I guess it's been leaked now. So we have the video. And the whole thing is just sort of crying crocodile tears about the treatment that illegal aliens receive. And it's funny because it's like, you know, they're claiming, they're like, oh, Barry Weiss didn't want to air this because it made Trump look bad. It's like, I actually would like it to air. I think it's actually important that illegal immigrants know, like, you need to get out of this country. I actually think that's important to go, hey, you want to see what it's like when you get caught by Border Patrol? Especially if you're in a Venezuelan gang like Trinidad Aragua. Let's show you. Yeah, 24 hours, light never turns off, freezing cold, super violent, super brutal, super dehumanizing. It's bad. It's really bad. So you should leave. So I don't even get the, you know, they're like, oh, we can't show this. It you know, sympathizes the illegal aliens. But, like, I'm not empathizing with these people. I'm glad they were subjected to uncomfortable conditions. They shouldn't have come to America. They chose to, you know, come here and then stay here and try to get away with it. Like, you made this choice. You made this choice, scumbag. Where it annoys me is that you'll never see, you'll never ever in your life ever see the same type of story being told for people that are genuinely political prisoners. You know, maybe we should go to this video. But, you know, they're interviewing one of the detainees, and he's describing his treatment, and they go out of their way to make it sound as bad as possible, even when it's not really that, didn't seem that bad, honestly. But they're just, you know, oh, the light never turns off, and what that does to somebody, and lying on these concrete beds, and this is just horrible. Meanwhile, you know, January Sixers were, like, blinded because they were beaten by guards. We're all African migrants, and we're told the J6ers are KKK member white supremacists. So the prison guards would beat the crap out of them and then put them in solitary confinement for 6 months on end. I don't know. Why are we not seeing interviews about that? Why are we not seeing long, you know, hour-long CBS, highly produced productions explaining in excruciating detail, doing everything they can to maximize the emotional impact of the torture that January 6ers were put through? So I sort of understand why they would want to take that video down, because obviously the entire intent of it was to try to humanize and provide sympathy for the, you know, actual violent criminal illegal alien terrorists that are in this country. Something they would never tell that story for people that actually don't deserve the treatment that they're getting. People that actually were tortured, even though they were innocent, by the American government in America. Never get that story, but we will get a sob story about the poor, well, I was about to say innocent, but he's not actually innocent. The poor, guilty illegal alien who had to, you know, endure being sent home. We're so sorry. Yeah. Meanwhile, John Brennan's lawyers confirm he's a target of a Florida grand jury probe, and they ask the judge to intervene. In a letter to Chief Federal Judge in Miami, it's an extraordinary interjection by Brennan's defense team and likely signals his lawyers' fear an indictment is imminent. Former CIA Director John Brennan's lawyers have taken the extraordinary step of confirming that their client is, in fact, a target of a criminal grand jury investigation in Florida, and are asking the chief federal judge in Miami to stop the proceedings on the grounds the Justice Department is, quote, judge shopping. So, very good to see. We want to see John Brennan behind bars as quick as possible, please. We know all the laws he broke. He's a traitor to this country, and every day he is walking around free is another day the justice system is yet to be fixed. Of course, we covered this yesterday at the end of the show. U.S. to build Trump-class warships for Golden Fleet. President Trump has, in his second term, obsessed over sea power, long a sign of the country's strength. Here he again inserts himself. He complained about the rusty appearances of ships. He kickstarted a shipbuilding office, with a promise to make the vessels very fast, very soon. He's mass destroyers and Marines in the Caribbean, and he's ordered a blockade of Venezuela as he beefs with the country leader, Nicolas Maduro. Yeah, I think the biggest failure in this is for the Trump administration to make the case for why we're going after Maduro. Like, it's honestly weird and sad that you have articles like this, and it kind of makes sense. He's ordered a blockade of Venezuela as he beefs with the country's leader, Nicolas Maduro. I mean, looking from the outside, yeah, maybe that is why. I don't know. We don't really have anything tangible about the drug trade. Kind of not really. Well, it's about the election, but that's not the official story. And kind of about helping Israel, but we don't really say that too loud. And it's like, we need a real reason. We need an actual propaganda effort if you want us to get into this war, Trump. Right now, you got people writing articles going, yeah, he's going to war with Venezuela because he is beefing with Maduro. It's like, well, maybe so. Maybe that is the case, because I got no other better reason for that. Which I guess makes us more like Imperial Rome than ever before. Finally, activist Judge Boasberg orders Trump administration to allow deported Venezuelans from El Salvador to return to the U.S. Why is this man able to intervene at every possible time to stop Trump from doing absolutely anything? Why is this creepy Lord Voldemort looking weirdo who's nobody has ever voted for get to dictate American policy on every front, from immigration to deportations to, you know, dispensing, sending out the military to help ICE? Judge Boasberg reigns supreme for some unspoken reason. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe we're just not allowed to know why he's in charge. But it ain't because he's got the support of the people, because we don't live in a democracy or a republic for that matter. We live in a dictatorship of weirdos. And that's what we're learning with the Jeffrey Epstein announcement. That might actually be the ultimate takeaway. We live in a dictatorship of the weirdest, most degenerate, freakish people the world has ever seen. The headlines, of course, as we knew they would be, Donald Trump named a new release of Jeffrey Epstein files. Jeffrey Epstein's brother, Mark Epstein, told the FBI in 2023 that Epstein was murdered in his jail cell because he was about to, quote, name names. Mark Epstein, 71, who has long believed that his brother was killed, also alleged in the tip that President Donald Trump authorized the late sex trafficker's murder. The FBI document is part of a batch of thousands of files that were released by the Department of Justice early Tuesday morning. Trump has repeatedly denied any involvement in Epstein's crimes. The Department of Justice released a statement Tuesday saying a number of the documents pertaining to the president were untrue and sensationalist claims that were made against Trump before the 2020 election, although Mark Epstein's claim was filed in 2023. This is the weird part. Why are there claims from 2023 in the Epstein files? Epstein died in 2019. I guess because this is Mark Epstein saying things that he thinks his brother was killed by Trump. But the thing is, do we really think Jeffrey Epstein was about to blow the lid? Really think he was about to become a conscientious objector, a whistleblower? Do you think that's what was about to happen? Seems to me a lot more likely that Jeffrey Epstein thought, oh, I can destroy Trump and I can work with the people who hate Trump. Maybe they can give me some leeway. Maybe they can get me out of here if I offer to serve them up Trump on a platter. Maybe Trump did kill him. I mean, hell, it happened under Trump's administration. Of course, Bill Barr was the AG at the time. He would have had oversight over the imprisonment of Jeffrey Epstein. He would have had to be the one to stop the investigation into his death. And of course, Bill Barr's father hired Epstein for one of his first jobs at a girls' school because he was recruiting people to be agents for intelligence agencies while there. And I want you to just take all this in, sort of understand, you know, what it is that we're actually dealing with here, A lot of people have a lot of different views of this. Some people are like, oh, this is, you know, Trump's a pedophile and he's protecting his pedophile buddies, or, you know, oh, this is an Israel infiltration thing and they're covering it up because Israel's blackmailing them. Other people think it's a hoax, Democrat hoax. I mean, there's lots of different views. The reality is that there is a supranational global cabal that has been operating for nearly 100 years at this point that uses a variety of money laundering, blackmail, drug trafficking, human trafficking, all sorts of nefarious operations to fund other nefarious operations to overthrow countries and, in a simple term, be the shadow power of the world. And we know who these people are, more or less. We more or less know their intentions. And we can actually see the outcome of the policies they decide. And we can see the ways in which they are still to this day being shoehorned in to the most important positions in the entire world, specifically because they're a part of this cabal. Some main players in this cabal would be people like Larry Summers. Larry Summers has just been revealed through some of the Epstein documents, actually was named as the executor of Jeffrey Epstein's estate after his death. I mean, all of the money that Jeffrey Epstein was given by the likes of Les Wexner, the billions of dollars that he was provided in order to have a starting fund, a nest egg, in order to build his reputation as a financier, in order to insinuate himself in with scientists and technologists in order to co-opt, blackmail, or manipulate them, is now going to go back into the coffers of Larry Summers, because that's what this operation is. You can almost think of it like a corporation with Jeffrey Epstein as one of the many brands under this umbrella. Right, you've got the Unilever Corporation. Underneath that, you might have Dove, and you might have Irish Spring, and, you know, all these different soaps and, you know, products, but they're all under the same umbrella. And so if the, you know, if Irish Spring goes bankrupt or has to shut down for some reason, well, then all of their assets and all of their resources can be, once again, absorbed into the wider corporate structure. So that's what's happening here. So you've got Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, the guy who helped destroy Glass-Steagall and helped lay the groundwork for the market crash in 2008, that his buddy Larry Fink at BlackRock helped to determine where all of the, you know, bailout money went, and got to basically rearrange and completely redesign the economic system without any input from anybody except for he and his buddies. Larry Summers, who, again, head of Harvard for a while, still at Harvard, also got appointed to the board of OpenAI, the most prominent and most successful AI company that runs ChatGPT. That happened after the drama around the board. But lo and behold, what a coincidence. Larry Summers happened to be the one appointed there. Larry Ellison, of course, can be seen in emails corresponding with Jeffrey Epstein and Ehud Barak, former Prime Minister of Israel, as they talk about who, what politicians will be useful to them and will serve their interests, including arranging a meeting between Marco Rubio and Tony Blair, since they can both be trusted to serve the interests of this corporation, of this incorporated, non-incorporated cabal, the mega group, would be one way of phrasing it. So even in just these four or five people, you have a very tight network who are collaborating, corresponding, arranging meetings, dictating policy. Jeffrey Epstein himself had his fingers in so many pies, like crazy. He's selling weapons from Israel. He's like just meddling in their elections. He's like selling universities to Russians. Like, so what does this mean? Like, who is this guy? How does he have the ability to do this? Like, how do you go to, do you go to school for this? He didn't even go to school for, you know, trading. It's all fabricated. He is a spy master. He is a kingpin in a mafia That's all this is. And this group that I'm describing, that includes Les Wexner and Jeffrey Epstein and all these other people, Larry Summers and Larry Ellison and like Donald Trump, I guess, at this point, it's all part, or it's all maybe this is the managing structure of the very same organization that's talked about in the Eagle II documents. When, back in the 60s, the CIA decided it needed to be out from under the control of the U.S. Congress, and it decided the best way to get out from under Congress was to have its own income, and the best way to have its own income stream was to start selling black market drugs, heroin, to the soldiers in Vietnam. And so not only did you have the Vietnam War expanded, you had Operation Phoenix kickstarted, you had George H.W. Bush getting in this and being involved in the opium trade and the drug running and the Iran-Contra. And then you have Bill Gates, MENA, Arkansas, the boys on the track, the cover-ups he helped carry out there as the CIA was running drugs from their operations in South America, flooding the American streets. Dark Alliance by Gary Webb, of course, exposed this and blew the whole thing wide open, but they'd been running it for decades. And Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, at the time Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, helped them to run their headquarters were in MENA, where they were, you know, running flights to and from Colombia and then spreading the drugs all over the United States. It's all the same group. It's all the same cabal. It's the same supranational intelligence network, intelligence community that launched COVID-19 and the Russiagate conspiracy and 9/11 and probably the assassination of Charlie Kirk and just about everything else that you can point to in the last several decades of shockingly precipitous decline here in America. So we'll get into like who this Epstein guy was. How did he have all of these connections? How did he know all of these people? Where did his money come from? Because a lot of this is being revealed in the emails. People are going around hunting desperately for Trump, and what they're finding is a bunch of unconfirmed, uncorroborated, baseless claims from anonymous people. They'll write all the headlines they want about that. It will not lead you any closer to understanding what this really represents. What this really represents is the New World Order, is the powers that be, is the banking combines intelligence manifestation. As we've explained a million times before, intelligence agencies came out of the banks, and they've never left. When the CIA was founded from the OSS, where did they get, you know, their strategies from? Where did they get their best practices from? Well, from MI6. Where did MI6 get them from? Well, the banking intelligence of the Rothschilds. So it all goes back to that, and it all ties in together. And it's not a coincidence that whether we're talking about DEI and ESG and white people being discriminated against or Jeffrey Epstein, it's literally exactly the same names pulling the strings every single time. Same people running drugs, same people stealing elections, same people burning down skyscrapers and running airplanes into them. Same people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
The Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is what's live on the White House YouTube channel right now. It's just Trump reading a list, reading the naughty list of criminal illegal aliens. What do the names say? I can't quite read it. Can we full screen this? That is hilarious. It's a lo-fi Christmas vibe. That's hilarious. And it's got the actual names of people who have been arrested and then the crimes they've been arrested for. That is hilarious. Leonardo Ignat Austo, child abduction. Jose Manuel Fuentes Vargas, domestic battery, violation of a protection order, sexual assault of a victim, less than 13 years of age. Wow. So they actually list. I wonder how long this goes for. There you go. That's what's live on the Trump White House Christmas feed. All right. We're learning a lot from these Epstein files. Not that we necessarily didn't know already, just getting a little bit more clarity or a little bit more detail, I guess. You know, I sort of struggle. I mean, it's interesting, certainly compelling. Is that informative? I don't know. Latest Jeffrey Epstein file dump reveals troubling art of kids in NYC townhouse, disturbing role play costumes. Yeah, I mean, he was a prolific rapist. You know, it's like, okay, I guess we can learn exactly what his fetishes were. Is this helping us to uncover the worldwide illegal power structures? Not so much. In one snap, the unsettling artwork of a little boy looking down inside his pants can be seen on display inside the dead pedophile's home. I mean, there's pictures of him with little kids. Others show childlike role-playing costumes laid out, as well as numerous framed prints of children, including one where a little girl is perched on his shoulders. There's creepy taxidermy animals, including a dog and tiger. We're also seen scattered throughout the home. I mean, this is the type of thing where you see somebody like Jeffrey Epstein, and before anybody knew the truth about him, he would have seemed like this suave, cool, connected. He had all the greatest friends. He was a billionaire. He owned an island. I mean, it was, you know, he's this highfalutin guy that I'm sure would talk down to you about all of the art that he had. And then it's like you go in, and it's like a weird, mentally ill Tumblr page. It's all porcelain dolls and creepy masks and big life-size pictures of him with children, and it's just, this is weird, man. These people are freaks. Literal freaks. So just whenever you're watching, you know, the mainstream news or whatever, and it's these people trying to claim, you know, talk down to, you know, whatever, middle Americans or whoever, just remember, they go home and their walls are covered in art that you never want your friends to see. It's so weird, man. And that's really like, what is, you know, what else is there to say other than that? Like, yeah, we can get infinite evidence of just how creepy and weird these guys are. But like, there's no bottom. I mean, we aren't even being exposed to the real creepy stuff. The real stuff that we know goes on. And of course, they just have these bizarre connections. Like, there's this one. Jeffrey Epstein's disturbing pedophile island temple revealed in images released by the Department of Justice. From Gateway Pundit. And if we go to the article or go to my computer screen, I've got images here. And it starts off by saying, no, it's not a gym. They called it a gym. The mainstream media reports were like, yes, the gym on the top of the island. The very distinctly temple-like gym. For a long time, MSN insisted in calling this creepy building on the highest point of Little St. James Island the gym, when there's obviously a religious, cultish aspect to the cube. Yeah, it's pretty occulty. Temple with the dome and bird statues. While the images of the DOJ release mostly show the temple in a semi-dismantled state, when seen in all its demonic glory with the golden dome and the gilded bird statues, there's no doubt that there's something very dark at work here. So again, you've got an owl, you've got Moloch, you've got the symbol of Bohemian Grove or Athena or whatever other name they apply to these neo-pagan worship ceremonies. And a New York Post reported, sicko financier Jeffrey Epstein's twisted pedophile island included an unnerving temple-like building featuring an elaborate ceiling mural depicting signs of the zodiac and a pair of ratty mattresses. The cube-like building, adorned in Grecian-style blue and white stripes, was erected at the highest point of the sprawling private enclave in the U.S. Virgin Islands, flanked by palm trees and positioned overlooking the sea on a two-tier stone terrace decorated with bold pink geometric shapes. Now here is a very distinct shelving inlay. Of course, as it notes on Gateway Pundit, the bookshelf with two columns reminiscent of the Masonic Jachin and Boaz, to, you know, some of the most prominent symbols in masonry are the two pillars. It goes back to the Temple of Solomon. And these two pillars are, of course, differently designed. One is one has a texture to it. The other is straight up and down, again, representing the occultish purpose of these types of decorations. The interior of the mysterious structure, the purpose of which was not immediately clear, appeared to be in a state of disrepair despite its grandiose decor, with exposed cement board panels as well as a bit of wood strewn throughout. They go on to say a few observations about on this report by the New York Post. One, in the temple is not in disrepair. It's being dismantled after the Epstein trafficking ring was busted. The building style is not related to Greece. It has been a long time since internet sleuths found this temple copied a style of bathhouses in Aleppo, Syria. Although I think there are other inspirations you can point to as well. And finally, three, the purpose of the temple is clear, disturbing as it may be. The question is, what kind of religion or cult was practiced there with Islamic stripe patterns, golden domes, bird statues, and constellations on the ceiling? Plus, they're all Jews. That's a disturbing thing to think about, so people prefer to call it a gem, a ceiling mural depicting the mythical images of the constellations. And I thought this was weird. This is the type of stuff, I don't know, man. I don't even know what to make of this stuff anymore. On the Gateway Pundit, they say, the mattresses most probably were used by workers dismantling the temple? Do other people read that and just accept it? This is what blows my mind. Gateway Pundit, pretty good, right? One of the best outlets out there for truthfulness and reporting in politics. They point out the Masonic influences. They're pointing out the occultish purpose of this building, obviously. But it's almost like I can never read an article without at least one line just making me go, what the hell are they talking about? Like, I honestly want to know. If you're reading this article and you come upon a picture of mattresses and you see that the subtitle is "The mattresses most probably were used by workers dismantling the temple," does that make sense to you? Because it doesn't make sense. Just play that out in your head. What? Okay, so the workers dismantling the temple, what'd they do? Go to mattress firm? They hop over to the other island, bring over mattresses, haul them up to the top of the hill, put them in the temple because they're going to dismantle the temple for so long they're going to have to sleep there? What are you talking about? Again, it doesn't even matter. It literally doesn't matter. It's just like kind of a one-off thing, but I don't know, man. It's like with the Candace Owens stuff, and it's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know what's happening in people's minds. I don't know why people would write something like that. And, you know, again, it doesn't mean anything. It's completely random and non-important. But it's just, to me, it's like symbolic of just like, what are we doing? Is everybody lying all the time? I don't know. That just kind of blew my mind. When they're like, the mattresses were probably used by the workers to sleep on. Why would they not go home? Why would they not go to the giant mansion house and sleep there? Why would they bring mattresses up to the temple? Were they really working all night on this and just were going to collapse at a certain point and just needed mattresses there? Anyway, whatever. We can move on. But it's just like, can we ever just have anything just be straightforward? The mattresses were probably there to rape children on. That should be the subtitle. How about the mattresses most probably were used by Epstein to rape children in the temple? It's part of a ceremony. Because he worshiped demons. How about that as a subtitle? Anyway. It just all makes me feel insane. I just see stuff like that and I'm like, is the world playing a trick on me? Is there a hidden camera? Well, there's lots of cameras, but I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's like every article I read at least has one line that just makes me go, am I crazy? Now I don't trust the whole article. Now I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I genuinely feel like the only sane person in the world sometimes. I know that makes like, it's because of this, I'm sure insane people think that too. Like, my logic is very clear and simple. And I'm like the only one that can grasp it. I don't get it, man. But okay. Mattress firm for all your temple needs. Hey, maybe they deliver. You know, maybe the workers that were hired to dismantle the temple, they thought, gee, where are we going to sleep? I guess we'll sleep in the temple we're deconstructing. But wait, mattresses, like what? I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't get it. People just say things. It doesn't make any sense. But let me just, all right. Can I just run through some articles here? I'll just run through some headlines and, you know, just sort of just soak it in. All right. Just understand this. Just take it in. Just don't think about it too much. Just accept what I'm telling you because, you know, most of this is true. As far as I can tell, like anything I've looked into is true. And so far, you know, this is just some of the claims. I don't know. I've probably found more in here. But we are supposed to believe that Jeffrey Epstein, on his own, by his own volition and on his own initiative, personally ran a giant pedophile network for which there are no customers or clients. And everybody, I mean, the official story actually doesn't really make any sense. But that's because they can't sell you the official story. The official story would cause a revolution in understanding who it is that's running the world, how they got there, the lie of democracy, the manipulation of the banks. Remember, it all goes back to the banks, all of it. Can I just remind you again, the leaders of Canada, England, France, and Germany are all former bankers with the biggest banks in the world. I mean, you might as well say right now, France is run by the Rothschilds, Canada is run by the Bank of England, whoever Merz was with, I think he was with BlackRock, actually, Frederick Merz, Chancellor of Germany. So, you know, when we talk about this all goes back to the banks, this is all, you know, in the Fed is the head of the snake, the banking system, the banking combine, starts all the wars, every war is bankers' wars. Like, understand, it's not theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. And at this point, it seems like things were sort of slipping out of their control when they were controlling things through one, you know, position removed, and they just said, we better just take it over. We better just take the reins. You know, it was useful for a time to have a gay art teacher, Trudeau, act like the leader of Canada while we ran things, but let's just put Carney in. Let's just put the Bank of England in. They'll just run it. I guess Keir Starmer was a lawyer. He paid his dues by letting out the rape gangs that destroyed British youth. So, you know, he paid his dues, although he was a lawyer, right? He was a lawyer. But everybody else, they're all just literally bankers. So the bank executives have appointed themselves as leaders of these countries. And it's working out great for them. But okay, let me see if there are any others here that I should add to the stack before we just start going through. Because I just want to ask you, sort of, you know, who is this person? How did they get to this position? How did they find themselves in the role to be so many things to so many different people and organizations? And what do we have to do to get out from under this? All right. You know what? I'm going to put this one at the end. We're going to end with probably the biggest bombshell one to me. Let's read through these headlines. House Democrat exchanged texts with Epstein on how to hurt Trump during 2019 congressional hearing. Remember, this is when he was literally pulling the puppet strings on the puppet in live time. He's actively texting a Democrat words to say during an official congressional proceeding, and then she repeats them verbatim. His words, her mouth, his hand, her puppet. Okay? Pretty incredible position to be in. Jeffrey Epstein claimed to have meddled in Israel's elections. Now you can understand why Trump wakes up in the middle of the night sweating when he hears you and I are friends. That's one of the sensational, damning Epstein messages that have been roundly quoted since being extracted from more than 20,000 documents released by the House Oversight Committee last week, a seeming reference to the power Epstein held via the damaging information he had amassed on the rich and influential, the now president included. And of course, he brags about taking credit for, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak's re-entry into Israel politics in 2019, which aimed to topple current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the second of what would be three Israeli elections in a year. Okay, so somehow he is manipulating the Israeli election. Amazing stuff. Financier, former math teacher. Larry Ellison vetted Marco Rubio for fealty to Israel, hacked emails reveal. So these were emails between Epstein, his associates, and others. Larry Ellison was talking to Ehud Barak, I believe. It may have been Epstein himself, about connecting Tony Blair, who would be a serviceable avatar for them, with Marco Rubio, another person who can be trusted to support their positions. Okay, so they're dictating who's going to be like United Nations ambassador, who's going to get to be Prime Minister of England, who gets the contract for rebuilding Gaza, who gets contract for digital ID, who gets to buy CBS News and TikTok, who gets to take over Paramount. Sounds like I listed a lot of people. It's Larry Ellison, okay? Very good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein pursued a Swiss Rothschild bank to finance Israeli cyber weapon empire. You know, he was a financier. He was a financier. He you know, loved art. He helped to fund, you know, big tech projects. No, he was a kingpin. He was a capo in a global mafia. That is the way to think about this. And I've been making this case for the entire time I've been at InfoWars, because our position has never changed, because we are actually the consistent ones, because we are actually the ones that have been telling the truth about this for decades. And my position on this and many other, you know, aspects of modern American politics is very simple. We are run by a mafia. Everybody knows about mafias. It's never confusing when it's any other type of mafia. You understand that mafias are not solidified, right? You don't have a published chain of command. It can be kind of wishy-washy. Somebody's in it for a little while and then they're not. Well, he's a lawyer for the mob, but he's not actually in the mob, but he does do work for them. And well, that person is, it's fluid. Some people are seemingly official, good, you know, real businessmen, but they're actually working for a wider crime syndicate. But you couldn't prove it because you look and they've got income and they pay their taxes. So you don't really know. That's just what this is. That's all this is. It's just the highest level of that. It's the highest level of Jewish mafia. And there are multiple that are competing with each other for power, but it always stays in their hands. That's all this is. Now, if I talk about the Italian mafia, nobody blames me for hating Italians. When I talk about the Jewish mafia, suddenly people want to make it like I'm insulting the, I don't know, car salesman down the road who happens to be Jewish. Well, I can say that, you know, the Godfather or Tony Soprano is an Italian working with other Italians to benefit his perception of Italian-American interests. Nobody thinks I hate Italians for saying the truth, right? That's all this is. Semi-legal, it's semi-illegal. It's sort of casual. You don't put anything in writing. And just like if you watch The Sopranos, you know, what is Tony Soprano's job? What does he do? I mean, on paper, he's like a sanitation developer or whatever. He manages sanitation. In reality, what's he doing? He walks into the politician's office and he says, I need this, and the politician gives it to him. He goes to the guy who owns the money and he breaks his legs unless he gives it to him. That's his job. His job is, you know, finding out where the contracts from the city are going and threatening the guy to make sure he gets them, and then giving the no-show jobs to his other friend that he owes for this thing. And, you know, this is what it is. Imagine The Sopranos, but on a global stage with billions of dollars at their disposal. Instead of shaking down the local construction site in New Jersey, they're shaking down the country of America. They're shaking down, you know, weapons manufacturers. And as soon as you put it in that term, in those terms, is it confusing? Is it hard to comprehend? Is it racist? Is it anti-Semitic? No. It's all very simple. Why was Jeffrey Epstein chosen for this? Because he was fit for the role. He was both in charge and a subject. Just like I've always said with Bill and Hillary Clinton. Anytime we talk about Hillary Clinton, I tried to make the point, you know, she may be a kingpin in this operation, but the operation exists outside of her and above her. And in a way, when the system protects Hillary, it's actually the system protecting itself. When it goes out of its way to protect Bill Clinton, it's actually just protecting itself, because Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, these are vulnerabilities that may lead to a wider damage against the overall network. And this has been obvious from the very beginning, right? Bill Clinton showed he was willing to play ball in Arkansas because the drug running operations are on Contra. So he was shown to be a good servant, a good employee, a good functionary for this wider criminal cabal. And so he was allowed to gain more and more power because they knew they could trust him to wield it on their behalf. Same with Hillary Clinton. Same with Jeffrey Epstein. And they got you by the balls, man. I mean, they give you a couple $1 billion. Yeah, you're theirs from then on. And they'll use you. And they'll manipulate you. And you'll manipulate other people. And you'll be given the appearance of power. You'll be given the feeling of authority over the children that you kidnap. And then when you die, they'll take all the money that they gave you and they'll take it back. And they'll give it to somebody else who will carry on the operation in the same function. It's a mafia. It's a corporate entity of a variety of people. And just like in a mafia, they might disagree with each other about certain things. They might want to pursue one thing or another. But at the end of the day, they won't betray each other. They'll protect each other, because at the end of the day, protecting each other is protecting themselves. Is I'm going to pull my strings to get you let off the case, because if you're declared guilty, that might lead to me. I'm going to protect you, not because I like you, but because I need to protect myself. So it's a giant mafia, global mafia network of shared interests and blackmail. It's not complicated. It's just evil.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's a... I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, plus $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before their hatch. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, You are the resistance.